I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the Cash for Clunkers program needs a cash fill-up right now. As the Senate debates whether to boost funding for the program, we talk about how it drew so many Americans to car dealerships during the recession. That's a little later. But first, in January, Democrats were celebrating a new era of leadership with the swearing-in of a popular new president and dozens of new members of Congress who were not only eager to get down to work, but to change the way Washington did business. At that time, we spoke with one of the 63 new members of the House of Representatives, freshman Democratic Congressman Jim Himes. Elected last November by defeating a 10-term Republican incumbent, Himes made the case that his background as an investment banker and nonprofit executive would be well suited to addressing the country's major challenges, the economy and health care reform, something he talked about on our program 7 months ago.
Our unfunded liabilities in Social Security and Medicare are just staggering. When investors, when people look at these things, they say, what does the future of the United States economy look like? And when they look at those two things in particular, and by the way, throw in health care and our, you know, crazy health care system, people just say, this doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
7 months in, we decided this was a good time to check in with Congressman Himes, and he's here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio. Congressman, welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Great to be here.
Well, I've been following some of the conversations you've been having with constituents back home, so I think I'll just ask the same question they've been asking, is there going to be a health care overhaul this year?
There is going to be one, and of course we're now engaged in the messy and vocal and loud process of figuring out what that's going to look like, but that should surprise nobody. I mean, this is the most complicated piece of our economy, and there's so many things we need to fix, and you know, to some extent, when you change things, people's lives get different and they get nervous. But I'm thrilled that we're seriously taking it up.
You're confident there will be a bill?
I am. You know, this president has put an awful lot of political capital on the table, and we all realize, particularly now, you know, with over 6 million Americans losing their jobs, and when an American loses their job, they lose their health care insurance. So more than ever, people are realizing that, you know, if they're employed and they have a plan that they like, that's great, but what happens if they lose that job? What happens as those premiums keep climbing? So people feel the necessity to make this change.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has made it clear that there will not be a bill by the time Congress is scheduled to go on recess. That's this coming Friday. A lot of people don't understand this. They say, if I have a job that's not finished, I don't get to go on vacation. Why should you? How do you explain that?
I actually think August is going to be a great month. I never agreed with the notion that we should write a bill and pass it in the House in 2 weeks. And look, I know the leadership was there. I know the president was pushing for that. But this is so complicated. And here's the part that I like about going home in August. Being able to talk to doctors and hospitals and people in my district to get their feedback on this bill. I'm going to come back in September a lot more educated on the key aspects of the bill. So I actually think it's a good thing that we're going to go back and talk to the people whose lives will be affected by this thing.
Not worried about losing momentum?
You know, people who don't like the bill will take shots at it for the next 4 or 5 weeks, and that'll inflict some pain. But look, at the end of the day, I think it's much more important that we get this right than we get it done quickly.
You've been public about embracing the idea of a hybrid system, keeping private insurance in place for people who have it and like it, but also offering a public option. Is there still currency for that? As you know, of course, there's a big block of Democrats who see themselves as fiscally conservative who are objecting to the so-called public option. Do you think that there's still support for this?
There's certainly support for this. There's a number of members who say they will not vote for a bill that does not contain a strong public option. Look, I've always supported a public option for one reason, which is that in many geographies in this country, you've got one or two insurance companies, and more competition can only be good. Now, you know, I feel strongly that within the exchange, the public option be operating on a level playing field. The point here is not to subsidize an entity that puts everybody else out of business, but more competition is good. The plan before the House now will do away with the donut hole, which crushes so many seniors. It'll create persistent insurance for Americans, so when they lose their job, they've got an option. It'll subsidize those. I love that stuff. That's important stuff. In as much as I have disappointments with the bill, it's not so much with the payment structure and the administration piece of it, but I'm not convinced yet that we've got a bill that makes a fundamental reform to a broken system. I'll give you two examples. One, you know, our system right now is a fee-for-service, volume-based model. Doctors and hospitals and providers get paid more the more they prescribe, procedure after procedure, test after test. And guess what? We do an awful lot of extra tests and procedures, and that means cost. The other thing that is a little disappointing to me is we really got to shift the system away from people getting paid and incentivized to fix you when you're broken towards something where people have an incentive to keep you healthy. So I'd like to see those two things really sharpened up in the next couple of weeks.
You're not sure the bill's doing that?
Not as much as I'd like to see that. You know, again, the focus has been on the payment and the administrative, the insurance side of this thing, and I think we haven't sort of, you know, really dug deep enough on the things that are wrong with the system.
And what about the how it gets paid for aspect of it? You come from an affluent area. presumably a number of your constituents are going to be the taxpayers who are going to be expected to contribute more. How are they taking this?
I think a lot of high-income earners recognize that everybody's going to be called on to contribute a little bit. What you can't do, though, Michelle, is you can't say, we got a Social Security problem. We're going to solve that with our highest income earners. We got a structural deficit. We're going to solve that with our highest income earners. We got a health care problem. We're going to solve that with our highest income earners. You can't go back to that well so many times that people are paying 60% marginal tax rates. That just doesn't work.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having a visit with Democratic Congressman Jim Himes of Connecticut. We spoke with him just before he was sworn into office in January, and we're checking in with him to get his take on current events in Washington. So this is your first time in office. How's it going? What surprises you most?
Well, the pace, frankly, is absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, the old-timers around Congress will say that what has already happened in 7 months would have been, you know, two Congresses 20 years ago or whatever. And honestly, look, this is why I wanted to be in Washington right now, to help fix and deal with some of these problems. On the flip side, I got to tell you, I've got two little girls at home. I don't usually complain because getting from Washington to Connecticut is an awful lot easier than some of my folks, my colleagues who go all the way out to the West Coast. But the family part is tough.
Are you finding that harder to be separated from them than you thought?
It's very hard. By the end of the week, I feel like a bad dad, and I don't like that feeling.
Getting back to health care, one of the things about the pace, and particularly being in the House, is you have to stand for election again next year. Can you face the voters without having produced a bill?
Frankly, I'll be terribly disappointed if we get to the end of this Congress and we haven't done anything, but it's a heck of a fight.
Do you think, though, you can make a credible case to the voters to return you to office without the Congress having produced a bill?
Well, I don't think of it as quite that binary. I mean, I didn't say to the voters in the campaign that I'm going to go get health care done, and if I don't get it done, I want you to not reelect me. There's at least a half dozen really critical issues that we better make some progress on.
Jim Himes is a congressman who represents the 4th Congressional District of Connecticut. He's a Democrat. He was kind enough to join us here in our studios in Washington. Congressman Himes, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle. Look forward to being back.